Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you to our study today. Thank you for joining in, and the Lord bless you for your persistence and your devotion, your allegiance to the Lord and to His Word. It's brothers and sisters, we can't never underestimate how important it is for us to be in God's Word. Even when you feel like you've finished the lesson and you didn't glean anything from it, don't listen to that lie from the enemy, because everything that you study and you hear from the Word of God prospers in you. God the Holy Ghost uses it. And you'll find that out. And some of you probably already have said, yeah, I know that's right, Brother Thurman, because it is. You'll be maybe witnessing to somebody or thinking about something or having a conversation, and God the Holy Ghost will bring that to your remembrance, just like He said He would. And He'll bear witness of the truth with you. And you'll get joy out of it. You'll thank Him for it. As a matter of fact, you'll find yourself thanking Him for it. You know, I was reading something today, or wrote me some notes down for further looking over it again, and one of them is annihilation. Do you know that there's some people think today that that once you're dead, that or either if you're dead or there is no God, or even if there is a God, and you die, you get annihilated. Either God annihilates you, or you disappear, or at death you cease to exist. Well, you know, annihilation is a term that kind of like evolution or world peace. There's no such thing that exists anywhere outside of the depraved imaginations of a lost man who has abandoned his senses through violating his conscience. He's trying to make excuses for the judgment that's coming. And brothers and sisters, don't let anybody fool you. You are eternal. Your soul is eternal. And it's going to spend somewhere in eternity. And it's not going to die. It's going to, the Lord calls it dying, going, this is the second death, which is being cast into the lake of fire. But you're going to be very much conscious in hell. The Bible in Luke chapter 16 makes that very clear to us. People aren't in hell being annihilated. They're in hell suffering. And the Lord put them there for that. They're being punished for eternity. Punished and suffering. Nobody gets annihilated. That's like these fairy tale cartoon things that come up, that people come up with, like evolution and world peace, and saying that this is going to happen. And it's been going to happen for 2,000 years now. This evolution's been going to happen for 2,000 years. Nobody's got any farther with it, been able to prove anything about it, and never will. And world peace. I ain't getting no closer to world peace than the only thing that you could say that would be legitimate about getting closer to world peace is that the Lord Jesus Christ every day is getting closer to coming. And when He comes, He's going to make peace. He's going to make war first, and then He's going to make peace. And it's going to be a peace that none of us know anything about. It's going to be I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? And even so, come, Lord Jesus. But let's get into our study today, talking about sins again. I'm not really, I'm excited about God's Word, but I'm not excited about this subject. I don't like talking about sin. Sin is what it is. It's sin. And we've been over quite a few categories or quite a few topics having to do with our study of sin, and it's getting kind of repetitious, but I don't want you to feel that way about it, because you're hearing about these itemized sins that the Bible does itemize, and God the Holy Ghost thought it necessary. And every one of these topics that we bring up, for instance, today when we start, sins Christians commit that they must repent of. Well, see, some of these sins are itemized, and they're exactly the same as in some of the other topics we've already been over. But God the Holy Ghost thought it necessary to put these sins, these specific sins, under this specific topic. sins that Christians should repent of. And the Apostle Paul was the one that brought this thing about right here. And you know, he was an apostle, and he said he was chosen by the Lord, and he has received prophecy from the Lord, and he wrote these letters from the leading of God the Holy Ghost, and spoke them, and they were written down for us to study and to use for example in our lives and to follow. Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. So let's get into it today. First thing we're going to begin with is sins Christians commit that they must repent of. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20 and 21, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whispering, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." Wow. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the Corinthian church, and he's writing this letter talking about, if I come to you, you don't think I'm going to get on you about these things? He said, you'd rather me come to you and be humble among you. He said, but that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and not necessarily just sinned, but not repented of it. Not repented of it. This is the point he's trying to make in this verse right here about sins that Christians commit that they must repent of. You know, it's very important, and the Lord was very gracious to us to make us a way to be able to tell God and to confess our sins and be cleansed daily. And that is vital to your walk. Vital to your walk. You must tell God you're sorry and confess that sin just as open and not in front of everybody that doesn't have anything to do with it, but between you and the Lord, you speak personally to the Lord and say, "Yeah, Daddy, I did it." "Well, what did you do?" "I did this." Blankety, 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 blank. And lay that thing out there and confess it from your heart, and the Lord will cleanse you of it. He'll forgive you of it and cleanse you of it. You need to be cleansed every day. Now, as we grow older, we put away sins and put them aside, and we repent of them. But there are sins that's easily beset us, sins that we suffer with more than others, that we fight with more than others, that the enemy knows us, and he knows our background, and he knows things about us and what we think and what we have thought in the past, and the battles that we're fighting, and he knows the fights to put us in, to get us annoyed, to annoy us, and to just make us struggle with these sins. And he knows which one. Now, some of them you've already put away and they won't even bother you anymore, see? But some of them we struggle with. But Paul's not saying that for them not to sin. Of course you're not supposed to sin. Don't sin, Christian. Don't sin. But if you do sin, he says, repent of it. Tell God you're sorry. Confess it. And have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. He didn't accuse them of committing it. It's already been out in the open that it's been committed. He said, the trouble is that you're not repenting of it. And that's what brings God's wrath. All through the Old Testament, when you see that Israel sinned, if they turned and confessed it, God would forgive them, sometimes he would make them suffer some kind of punishment, but it was with his mercy. His wrath wasn't in it. But when they wouldn't repent, that's when God started taking real notice with them, and he said, okay, all right, and it cost Israel many times for not repenting. All right, so we see where the scriptures tell us that it's very important for us to repent. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, specifically, these itemized sins that were named under this category of Christians repenting that Paul talked about, he named them and laid them out right there. He could have said anything he wanted to say, but he said these. Now, some of these might not be in your life, and you might not have anything to do with these things or be tempted with them, and that's wonderful. But if you are, you need to repent of them. If you're guilty of it, repent and tell God you're sorry and mean it, and then quit it and fight it. Some of the Christians' biggest battles in our lives that the enemy attacks us with is to get us to where we're just fed up with the same battle over and over and over and over. And we get disgusted with ourselves by telling God we're sorry about the same sin over and over and over and over. But the Lord knows about these things, and he knows our hearts, and he knows when we're fighting. He knows that the enemy is more powerful than us, and that he throws darts at us, fiery darts, and he throws wiles. He uses wiles, like wily coyotes, sneaky. He's sneaky. And he sticks his foot out when we're coming around the corner, you know, and trips us. That's exactly how he is. And the Lord knows that. And we get disgusted with ourselves and fed up with ourselves having to tell God we're sorry for the same sin. But that's what's wonderful about God's grace, is that, I mean, you even get to where you tell the Lord, Lord, I've repented of this a million times, and I keep doing it, and I'm sorry. I don't know what to do about it. Well, that right there is growth, brothers and sisters. You're getting disgusted with it, and you're getting so disgusted with it that and you feel so terrible and guilty about it that it's a big problem and a big battle in your life that you go to the Lord with it. But the thing that the Lord has given us to cleanse that thing is repentance, confessing it. And you can't stop confessing it. Whatever it is that's troubling you and you sin, that's what the Lord calls these presumptuous sins. We know the Lord will forgive us of it, and we go ahead and commit it anyway. Every one of us is guilty of that. If you've been fighting any battles with the enemy and fighting any battles with any kind of sins, specific sins, you've done that. You've committed it knowing that you're committing it against the Lord, knowing a Christian does, knowing that you're committing it, knowing that you're trying to fight it, and then you give in to it. And then you feel like garbage for doing that. And you go to the Lord, and you're ashamed, and you tell the Lord, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do about this. This thing just keeps popping up, and it just catches me at the wrong time, Lord, and I'm sorry. And I don't know what it is with you, but I know some of mine, and I know when I'm being attacked. And that's wisdom that comes to you as you battle. You start learning how the devil is. Like Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices, how he comes to us and how he attacks us. Oh, I see you coming in there. I see what you're trying to do to me. And pretty soon, the Holy Ghost will give you ways to avoid that and help you to avoid the temptation. The Lord said, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not that you won't be tempted or your flesh won't try to trouble you or the devil won't try to trouble you. It's that you won't fulfill it. And that's growth. That's fighting. That's growing. And you get stronger and stronger and stronger, and then you get the victory over it. Pretty soon, it starts leaving you alone. It doesn't try to get you. A lot of us have big troubles with thoughts, especially in this world today with all this nonsense and propaganda and all this television and all this nonsense that you got to look at and hear and see and walk by and all this nastiness and filthiness going on between men and women and all this nonsense going on in the world today, and you have to look at it, and then the devil attacks you with that, you see. And you have to battle that stuff, but pretty soon you can get to the point to where you're strong enough to where these sins can't take up as much time with you as they did before. So what are we talking about? The sins Christians commit that they must repent of that are itemized. Of course, we need to repent of all of them. But these specific ones, the first one is debates. Arguing, contending, fighting about things, disputing. If you're fighting with somebody about something, quit it. Just quit it. Just stop. Tell God you're sorry. We're not supposed to be fighting with one another. We're supposed to be fighting the good fight of faith. And man, that takes up enough of our time. The Lord said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, today's got enough battle in it to where you need all your strength for today. Don't be fighting tomorrow's battles. Fight today's battles. And one of the sins is debates. This Corinthian church was fighting, and they had arguing and fighting inside the church and contending inside the church, apparently. And Paul thought it necessary to itemize this. Stop debating. Debating. Confess it. Tell God you're sorry. And if you won't tell God you're sorry, you can't be forgiven. You're forgiven corporately as a Christian. You're not going to hell, but you're not forgiven for walking around in front of your heavenly Father with a hardened heart and won't say I'm sorry for your sin. You don't let your children do that, do you? I mean, you ain't going to kill your child. I mean, your child's got life to look forward to, and he's got your protection, and he's got your care for the rest of his life. But if he messes around and does something wrong today, you're going to make him say he's sorry for it, ain't you? Before we can move on. Well, that's the way the Lord is with us. We're his children. Get a hold of that. Debates. Fighting. Arguing. Contending. What else? Well, envyings. There's that envy again. That stuff is, boy, that envy is nasty. Who can stand before envy? To feel uneasiness or mortification or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, and somebody's better than you at something, or somebody has a reputation better than yours, or character better than yours, or something like that. Superior excellence, reputation, or happiness even, enjoyed by another. Somebody's happier than you are. To repine at another's prosperity. You see somebody get a blessing. Somebody get a blessing, and it makes you fret and grieve. You grieve at the real or supposed superiority of another, or you might even hate them on that account. And often, or usually with a desire and effort to depreciate that person, to bring them down from their happiness, or bring them down from their blessing, or bring them down from their joy, with a pleasure in seeing them depressed. That is some nasty envy. That envy is nasty. And brothers and sisters, we're all guilty of it. And it pops up at some of the stupidest times. And about some of the most ignorant things, too. But nevertheless, it's nasty, and it's envy, and it's deadly. And we need to tell God that, confess it to the Lord, and repent of it immediately. immediately and get that thing taken care of. Because as soon as we confess it to the Lord, we put ourselves under His, we say, Lord, you see I'm confessing it to you, and I need your help. And the Lord takes action on that matter, whether we see it or understand that the Lord's helping us with it right away or not. But He does. But that envy is something. Paul brought that one up. What else? Wraths. Just getting so stinking mad that you go out of your mind. You know how people do at the... There's people at the intersections, man, in cars, getting out, fist fighting in a four-way highway at a stoplight. Women beating women up and people crashing cars into each other and chasing people down. I mean, there's so much stinking violent anger in the world today. Wrath. Vehement exasperation, indignation, rats. This stuff was going on with the church, with Christians. And we shouldn't be surprised about that. The enemy's not going to attack a football stadium full of people. Man, they're drinking and cussing. And you ever been to a professional football game? If you ever go to one, you're going to see some things that you're going to see and hear some things that's outrageous. I mean, it's as worldly can be. And nothing wrong with a game of football, I guess. But as far as the gathering itself, it's just as devilish as can be. But the devil don't attack them kind of crowds. He attacks the crowds that are trying to follow our Heavenly Father and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for Him and to live the way He wants us to live and to enjoy it and to be happy with it and to be glad that we're on His side and to have our allegiance to Him. I'm going all the way to the end. No matter what happens, I'm going to give the Lord a piece of my life that's not interrupted with the devil taking over part of my life and me falling again and spending 20 years in sin. I'm going to give Him all my life. Well, you know what that takes? That takes daily confession. Daily confession. And it makes you look like you're the worst sinner in the world and you feel like you are. Because every day we confess even the most minor sins. And then when you start... And you're going to find, as you grow, that God the Holy Ghost will bring up some sins that you done forgot about a long time ago. And He'll bring them up just to get you to confess them. And you confess them, and they're gone and out of there. They're forgiven. You're not going to hell because of them. You're not going to hell because of what Jesus Christ did, what our Lord did. And that's a gift. But as far as confessing and cleaning up, and becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ and conforming into His image, it's going to take confession and repentance. And one of them's envy. And one of them's wrath. And one of them is debate. What's another one? Strifes. Look at these things. They all kind of go together. Debates, fighting with one another, envying people, and fighting and debating. And then not only that, but it gets to the point to where there's violence in it. In Christians. And then not only that, strifes. Exertion or contention for superiority. I want to put the flowers out on the pulpit. And fighting over that kind of stuff. Contest of emulation either by intellectual or physical efforts. Contention in anger or enmity. Just fighting. Look at there. The first four of them have to do with fighting one another. And I'm afraid some more of these do. What else? Not only strifes, but backbitings. The Lord said, don't say it behind their back. Go say it to their face. He said, if you got a problem with somebody, go talk to them alone to begin with. If they won't hear you, take a couple brothers, at least two, at the most three, and take them and go say, try to patch that thing up. And if you won't, take it before the church. But He said, don't let it go, and definitely don't go be talking around the church back behind each other's back. Backbitings. You slander them. Charge them falsely with malice. Attack a good name or reputation. Or speak ill of the ones that are absent. Excuse me. Backbiting. We know what backbiting is. And when we do it, we need to confess it and repent of it. Christians ought to repent of backbiting. And we ought to quit it and not do that. What else? Whisperings. Whisperings. One who whispers, a tattletale. A tattletale. One who tells secrets. Supposed to be trustworthy and everything else, but one of these ones that, hey, did you hear? Well, don't tell nobody I told you this, but have you heard the news? You know, that kind of business. One who whispers, a tattler. One who tells secrets, a conveyor of intelligence secretly. Well, I'm doing this for good reasons, for your profit. And in case you just didn't know, I thought you might want to know. A backbiter. One who slanders secretly. Brothers and sisters, that's something that we shouldn't do, is slander each other. We all are fighting a serious battle, a spiritual battle, and we need one another's help. We don't need to slander one another, even if it's true. Even if it's true, there are ways of taking care of things that the Lord has given us through the church and through the scriptures, and ways of taking care of matters like that, so they get them out of the gathering, get them out of the congregation. Whisperings. We shouldn't whisper. And when we do, and sometimes the devil will trick you and your mouth outruns your brain, and I don't know how many of y'all would admit that, but I found myself where my mouth outruns my brain. I say something before my brain checks it. Have you ever done that? Whisperings. And the enemy will attack us right when it is the hardest in the world to zip it, to zip that mouth. You have to bite your own tongue. Whisperings. This is Christian sins. Sins Christians commit that they must repent of. And the must is important. There's no sense in bringing all this up and talking about it. I mean, we all know it's true, and we know that we have troubles with this, but the troubles we have is because we're trying to do it for the glory of God, and we're trying to be pleasing before our Lord. That's different in the world's purposes with these sins. But when Christians sin, the must part of it is to tell God you're sorry and repent of it and confess it. Yes, Lord, I did it. I run my stinking mouth, and I knew better when I did it, and it just, Lord, I didn't want to, but I did it anyway. And that's some truth in that. We do things that we don't want to. The Apostle Paul said that. That which I would, I do not. He said, but that which I don't want to do, he said, I do. He talked about the same thing, the same battles that we have. But the thing about it is confess it. Confess it, tell God you're sorry, repent of it, and then quit it. And go on until that'll be the time the Lord gives you the victory and you never have any trouble with it again. But confess it. Don't carry it around. Don't leave that sin on your shoulders. Confess it. Let the Lord cleanse it. And he will. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not only that, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Backbitings, wrath, strifes, whisperings. What else? Well, swellings, he said. Swellings. Now, I didn't know what a swelling was. I looked up as best as I could find it, but it seems to be leading into the something like a rising or an enlargement of passion as the swelling of anger or grief or pride. In other words, you don't let things get out of hand and swell up like people starting to gather together over a matter or something and things just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And people getting mad over it, more people, and grief is starting to take over, and pride is starting to take over, and it just swells into something that it didn't have to be. Swellings. He said, if you're part of that, get out of it, and tell God you're sorry, and confess it, and then forsake it. Put it behind you, and leave it alone. Swellings. What else? Tumults. Tumults. And this goes right along with, it is incredible that Paul spoke specifically to Christians sinning that they must repent of. And listen, all these things have to do with fighting with one another and talking about one another. And doing it to the point where we don't confess it and it turns into a great big matter and there's a church split over it or something like that. You see that thing? Swellings. Tumults. This is a commotion. A tumult is a commotion. A disturbance or agitation of a multitude. A whole church gets upset about something and gets agitated about something, usually accompanied with great noise, uproar, and confusion of voices, bustle, or a stir. Everybody just starts arguing and running their mouth and arguing about things, and nobody's listening to nobody, and just a big commotion or disturbance. Paul said, repent of it and leave it alone and don't be involved in it. What else? Well, uncleanness. Christians ought to be clean people. Now, I don't think the Lord's talking about necessarily, he reprimanded some people talking about washing their hands before they eat. But he was talking to some hypocrites. Some people that thought they were more religious than everybody else because of their outward appearance. So you see, the Lord did reprimand about this matter of dirt and things like that. And we shouldn't be dirty, nasty people. But that doesn't have any, but if that's the only way that you can live, and there are some people that live that way, that have to live that way, Christians, that have to live that way. There are places where Christians don't live as good as Christians do in the United States. Or different assemblies of Christians that have different availability, if you will. So we gotta be careful. I think the most thing that the Lord's talking about here is sinfulness and from the heart. Talking about foulness, being foul, uncleanness, foul. What else? Well, not only foulness, but dirtiness, filthiness, moral impurity. There's been some of the most godly people. I remember a preacher, one of my mentors that I study after, he told a story about going out on visitation one time, and he said that it was a elderly woman that was dying, a Christian woman, a very spiritual woman. And he said he went over to visit her, and when they let him come in and everything else, and when he went up to her room, he said he went to the room and he started smelling something that was foul. And what it was is she was in there, and her body had gotten to the point to where she had sores or something like that, or in some way, the way he described it is that she was rotting. And the place was foul. Filthy. Not filthy as in a kept up or appearance, but just smelled like a garbage dump, I guess. I don't know. Like a hospital with a, like somebody would in a hospital that's, you know what I'm talking about. But when he got to the door, he knocked, and she said, come in. And he said when he opened that door, he said the God was so, the Lord was so apparent in that room that the Lord, that God the Holy Ghost was so powerful in that room. He said he fell on his knees and crawled to that woman's bed. And it wasn't because of the smell, and it wasn't because of the foulness. It was because of God the Holy Ghost's presence being in that room. And this is a preacher that was very spiritual and walked every day and lived what he walked before the Lord. But he said that, and I've been in some place, been in some situation like that, and perhaps you know what I'm talking about. But see, uncleanness is not necessarily talking about being physically unclean. We should try to be as clean as we can and take care of our bodies, our temples, that the temple of the Holy Ghost, like the Lord said. But that's not the point. The point is moral impurity. This woman couldn't do anything about what was happening to her body. But he said when he opened that door, he said the presence of the Lord was so powerful that he crawled to that woman to visit with her by her bed. I think there's some truth in that, you see. Uncleanness, foulness, dirtiness, filthiness, moral impurity. Christians ought to repent of that. Filthy, nasty jokes. And we shouldn't be laughing about it or entertaining it or being in the presence of it. We got to remove ourselves from that kind of stuff. And sometimes you can, sometimes the devil traps you in it. But I hate being that way. I hate that happening to me. Where the devil traps you in a position to where you have to listen to that mess or something like that. Sometimes you can't get away from it. But defilement by sin, sinfulness. We find in Ezekiel chapter 36, the whole chapter, and Colossians chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 2 talk about these things about filthiness. And we're going to probably get into some more of that when we get into talking about the sins of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is our next topic. But what else? We're talking about specifically Christian. Fornication. If you're involved in any kind of lewdness or unmarried sexual misconduct, get out of it. Or correct it and confess it and fix it to where it's pleasing to the Lord. Fornication. The incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. The Lord said that all the sisters in the church, as far as males go, all the sisters in the church are to be treated like sisters with all purity. And all the men in there like brothers, and all the elderly men like fathers. Now, of course, we know they're not fathers, and they're not real brothers, and they're not this and that and that, but the Lord said that's the way it needs to be in your mind and in your heart, with all purity. Because why? Because the enemy uses our flesh and uses all the looseness to get fornication going in the church. The incontinence and lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female. Also the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Men, you got to watch your mouth around a woman with all purity. Because if any woman that's worth her weight in spirituality, she's going to despise it if you try some stupid stuff like that. And any woman that would enjoy it ain't worth talking to anyway. Criminal conversation of a man with an unmarried woman, and adultery is in fornication, under fornication also. Of course, adultery is different classifications as far as the marriage bed goes. Incest, idolatry, fornication. God hates that. It's an abomination to him. And Christians ought not be named once, like Paul said. It ought not be named among us one time at all. Fornication is a Christian sin that people need to repent of, tell God they're sorry, confess it, and get it behind them. And if you got any of these things in your life or in your walk with the Lord, well, what's going on while you're listening to this? God the Holy Ghost has already reminded you of it. And you know what's going on and you know the truth about it. Just get with the Lord and talk about it. And tell him the truth. Don't make no excuses. One of the biggest things that I say in my prayer is no excuse, Lord. No excuse. Because even while you're sitting there praying and you're trying to confess it to the Lord, your heart's trying to, that wicked, stinking heart we have, it's trying to make excuses. But, it ain't no buts. No excuse, Lord. No excuse. I'm guilty. I did it. I wanted to do it. I know I was tempted. I had an opportunity to get out of it, and I did it, Lord. No excuse. And that's the way you go with that thing. And then the Lord will see the sincerity in your heart and the truth, and he'll forgive you of it every time and cleanse you of it. And then you forget it, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. As soon as you confess it, you don't ever have to confess it again until you commit it again, which hopefully you won't. But like I said, that's not the Christian battle of faith, is it? The Christian battle of faith is a lot harder than that. And the world never understands that mess. And some Christians don't because they're not being taught. And there's one other that he mentioned, lasciviousness. This is goes along right in the sexual and the nastiness and the lewdness and stuff like that. But it's a lot more filthy. It's like open filthiness, looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires. I mean, it's kind of like the world says, let yourself go, man. Looseness, lasciviousness, indulgence of animal desires, lustfulness, tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. Just instead of it just being a temptation, you promote it. You make provision for it. The Bible says wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who can stand before envy? The sin that needs to be corrected. The Bible says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Remember that backbiting we was talking about? You can mess up some good Christian fellowship and relationship for years and years and years and mess up a whole lot of Christian service just by talking back behind somebody's back. Separate as chief friends. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, That was an unkind thing for Paul to say about people, wasn't it? It's not this passive Bible business that the world and these Laodicean so-called Christians are coming up with. Love, 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 love. That's not the language of your King James Bible. God doesn't talk like that. And the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Does that sound like a Christian? It is. Christians can do just about anything. They still carry around that flesh. And that flesh is just as nasty and filthy as anybody else's flesh that they're wearing while they're in the body. It's corrupt, and it's going back in the dirt. But the only difference is that you have a person dwelling in you that you can yield to, because you have been born again, and you have God the Holy Ghost in you to strengthen you and help you fight them battles, and you can. But the Lord said, if there first be a willing mind. In other words, the want to's there. Lord, I want to be pleasing and do the things that are pleasing in your sight, and I'm trying to do the best that I can. And you don't just lay back and just give up. That's one big reason why Christians get so far back into the world, is because the battle gets so monotonous. It gets to the point to where you're just sick of yourself, and you start looking for a way to stop thinking about that. So you go to the drink, or you go to the dope, or you go, or you just stop reading your Bible, or stop going to church, or start watching more TV to put more things in your mind to get your mind off of your sins. You see, that's just the way it works, brothers and sisters. But the Lord said to confess it. And that is an opportunity for us to rid ourselves of them sins and of the guilt of it. He cleanses you, he forgives you, and then cleanses you from all unrighteousness and takes away the guilt. You don't have to be guilty about it anymore. You've told the Lord, and you was honest with him, and he did what he said he would do. He forgave you, so you can move on. You see? Okay. Well, looks like we're not going to be able to go into another one today. The next one we were going to talk about is sins which are the works of the flesh. Are the works of the flesh. And this one here nails down a lot of things that we've already nailed down, but these are specifically having to do with the flesh that the Holy Ghost mentioned and itemized under as works of the flesh. Now, I don't know why the Lord did this way, as far as these sins and these lists of itemized sins being under these categories, but there's a reason for it. Number one, because it's true. And number two, because he wants us to take heed to it, I guess, in that matter. Yes, he did. He wanted us to take heed to it. That's why we're listing it and doing it like this. Taking each listing of sins and the topics that they're under and seeing who he's talking to. You see? Okay, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures for today. First one is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 through 21. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. And then we talked about the three chapters, Ezekiel chapter 36, Colossians chapter 3, and 2 Peter chapter 2. And then the last one for today is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. And those are our scriptures for today. And what we've been talking about today concern our study in the subject of sin in our ABCs of Christian growth is sins committed by Christians, sins Christians commit that they must repent of. Debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, uncleanness, fornication, and lasciviousness. And those are the ones we learned about today, and what did we learn about them? We learned that we need to tell God we're sorry and repent and confess those things before the Lord and get forgiven for them and cleansed. We need daily cleaning, daily cleansing. And I would venture to say that the Apostle Paul said that he told us about what he wanted to do, he didn't do, and what he didn't do, he wanted to do, and confessed all that publicly to the world in God's Word. So if a man as great and such a great Christian as he was, and walk with the Lord like he did, had troubles with these things. We ain't got no business acting like we don't have no troubles with them. But the thing about it is he said, you know, confess them. That's what keeps us going. And you got to incorporate that into your life. You got to tell God you're sorry for it and keep your relationship with the Lord as close as you can. Amen? All right. Well, good stuff, huh? Good stuff. That's what we need to know. And we'll move on our next recording. And you be sure to join in. We're going to get through all this. Don't worry. We need to know these things. We need to know this stuff. Sin. Terrible thing. I'm glad the Lord's going to just get rid of it all. He's got a perfect plan moving right along. And one day we're not going to have to deal with it at all. Praise Him. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Grove. And I love you with Christ's love. Have a wonderful day. And I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.